Blog Talk Radio.
And greetings, Mahotep. Welcome to another segment of New Day, Resurrection and Liberation. My name is Empress Chi, and as usual, we are always very pleased to be able to come to you and be with you live and in living color. Well, of course, for some, today is what is known as Mother's Day, and that's all good, and for some, they observe and deal with Mother's Day every day. And certainly what we tend to advocate here at New Day is the fact that our mother, or at least this is how we kind of embrace it, is of course what we call today Africa. Our Mother's Day off, our celebration and observance of what we call the mother of civilization, and of course our homeland, Mother Africa.
Let them know they've been denied. Oh, Russia,
Indeed. All right. Again, welcome to this segment of New Day, Resurrection and Liberation. My name is Empress Chi, and we got a lot of stuff we're going to cover tonight. Of course, a lot of the buzz stuff has been bringing back the girls, bring back the girls who have been kidnapped in Nigeria. Well, we're going to talk about that tonight. We're going to kind of very interesting topic and one that needs to be discussed, but also one that needs to be looked at from some other vantage points in terms of who's really behind it. What are the possibilities? We want to kind of look into that a little bit tonight because everything is not always what you see or what we hear. We know that for certain. So it's really in our best interest to look at things a bit closer and a bit more intelligently. And so we're going to do that tonight. We should have our sister, Iya, Dr. Iya Ajua, joining us a little later on. And she's been sending me some very interesting kinds of things that we've been sharing. And certainly it allows us to do some other kinds of evaluations in this situation that we now are, you know, referring to in terms of, I think it's approximately 270 or so young girls that is said to have been kidnapped and is said to now possibly be, they are projected to be sold for like $12 and things of that nature. We're going to talk about that, but also the connection to the U.S., including people, corporations, possibly other kinds of things like that. But also the fact of how this has kind of taken a different spin. Now, you know, here on New Day and in other things that we do, we have talked about repeatedly the violence and abuse of women and girls of African descent here in the U.S. Now, of course, we talk about it on a global scale as well, but we've been putting a major focus here in the U.S. Why? Because very few people talk about it. Few people talk about it nor do anything about it. Let's put it that way. Each year, it increases in terms of the number of rapes, in terms of the number of murders, in terms of the number of incarceration, and so forth and so on. And let's not even talk about what's now really on the rise, sex, human trafficking. Oh, yeah. You used to think that that was in other countries. Well, guess what, folks? That is not the case any longer. And we sit back and act like it's not happening. And then we want to wonder why our communities are falling apart in so many different ways. Well, when you do not stand up for women and children, then the rest of the world says, okay, not a problem. We better get it together, needless to say. So we're going to talk about that tonight, too. Before we begin tonight's program, as usual, we always give thanks and praises to our Creator, and we are certainly always appreciative of our freedom-fighting ancestors. Now, speaking of that, today was a very interesting day in some other kinds of ways, other than having the rally to begin to launch our national the elimination of violence and abuse of our women and girls nationwide. We have some very strategic plans that we are going to begin setting forward, initiating, not just in Philadelphia, not just in the tri-state area, but nationwide. I'm going to tell you more about that very shortly. Some pretty exciting kinds of stuff, we think, and definitely extremely progressive. We're going to also, of course, pay tribute to none other than El Haj Malik El Shabazz, as well as Latif, Malcolm Latif Shabazz. Of course, this past week, we looked at the observance of his murder. So we're going to talk about that, of course, when we bring on our brother, Dr. Randy Short, very soon. And, of course, with that, he's going to give us a couple of little updates, little insights into the death of Malcolm Latif Shabazz. And certainly each year at this time, we always pay tribute to El Hajj Malik El Shabazz Malcolm X. We're supposed to have, I think, Brother Mshimdi calling in, who's going to tell us about the trip every year up to the grave site on May 19th. So hopefully we will have that coming in very shortly as well. And I do believe we're going to have Chairman Fred Hampton Jr. calling in shortly for our live line dialogue also, because it's some stuff going on up in Chi-Town. It's very interesting how murders in our community tends to rotate. And what I mean by that, I mean the number, the large amount of murders that seem to happen over a short period of time and maybe over a couple of years. And we experienced that here in Philadelphia a couple of years ago, where Philly was like off the hook with murders. Now, interestingly, today we had our annual rally that focuses on violence and abuse of women and girls. But this year, it was a different twist. The mayor of Philadelphia, Nutter, had a rally, same place, Love Park. Never saw this before, by the way, not on this day. And their rally was focusing on anti-gun stuff, making sure that they increased gun laws and things of this nature. And they had the leading group, female group, mothers in charge of something. And again, as far as I'm concerned, a distraction, because for the past 10 or so years, we've had a rally every year, pretty much before the day before Mother's Day, focusing on the issue of violence and abuse of women and girls. Well, today, the mayor holds just a few feet away from us. He holds a little rally, thing too, with a lot of mixed group of people, and they're talking about rah, 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 putting guns, checks in place, and so forth and so on. Just kind of a very interesting observation, but one that we certainly understand. And the other kind of interesting event that we attended earlier today was a town hall meeting on gentrification that was hosted by one of the elected officials here in the city. His name is Representative Curtis Thomas. And it was really interesting in that people were very much on point, being very much adamant about letting folks know that people are not only upset with what's going on, but they want these politicians that are presently in office out. Simple as that. It was stated very clearly today that we no longer have those who did, some of us never did, an allegiance to the Democratic Party or the Republican Party. Doesn't matter. We want these people out ASAP, and there's stuff in the works to make that happen, because it is now very clear that the removal of our people and our communities, which i.e. includes culture, history, experiences, etc., that plan or those plans is well orchestrated, not just in Philadelphia, but nationwide. There's a consistency with how it's done. And it's very interesting to analyze it and to see how that stuff is taking place. And the way there's been this quietness about it, because, folk were kind of duped into believing something known as urban renewal, redevelopment. And so, people in the black community thought for some reason that this meant, they're going to do something to kind of uplift and upgrade our community, and, everything's going to be okay. Well, part of that was true, but needless to say, there were some other parts of that that meant some other stuff, which people are now seeing when, in fact, they have these taxes and other things going sky high, where around them properties are now going for $500,000, $1 million, and so forth and so on. So we're going to talk more about that as well. And with that said, we're going to talk about what the plans are to do something about some of that, because it's happening in Detroit. It's happened, well, you know it happened in Harlem, and now, of course, in Brooklyn. It's happened, definitely happened in Philly to the degree of just insanity. It's happening in D.C., New Jersey, you name it, anywhere with an urban environment. So we're going to tell you about, again, our national summit for next year that really focuses on that issue, breaking it down for you, showing you city, state, how it's all connected, who's benefiting, and why, and how this stuff is being done. We're going to break it down for you as we proceed on with our program tonight and in the future. Today's meeting was very important, very significant, because it really began to demonstrate that people are not just fed up, but really gearing up to take some action here in Philly. You're going to see New Black Philly coming up very soon. We're going to tell you more about that as we proceed. Okay, what we're going to do before we go to Dr. Randy Short, we are going to have our history corner for tonight. And there's so much going on in the month of May. Of course, we had Sister Cooker on last week, as we have her every week now, to give us our history moments, her story, our story, as we also say. And again, there are a lot of significant things that happened in the month of May, as well as folk who, were born or may transition in this month. So what we're going to do, again, before we bring on Dr. Randy Short, who's going to be coming on right after we talk with Sister Cooker, we're going to first hear what our history moments are for tonight. So let's see. I think we have Sister Cooker right here. And if not, we'll find it, but I think we got it right here. Sister Cooper, do we have you on this line?
Yes, and praising our Creator for Black Talk Enlightenment and the opportunity to disseminate our story truth. Tonight we'll be Willie Howard Mays. Willie Mays, born May 6, 1931, and all these people were born in May. He was born in Westfield, Alabama. In 1951, 4 years after Jackie Robinson, the United States baseball segregation, Willie Mays entered the major league. Mays was the center fielder and is quoted by saying, "I believed when I went on the field, I was on stage." Mays was a superior because was a superstar because he hit with power, could run, and throw. His vibrant personality brightened the atmosphere. Being around him was joyous, said Leo DeRosa. These are quotes. The only way Mays would play was as hard as he could. In 1973, at Shea Stadium, Willie Mays announced his retirement from baseball. And he was also honored at that time. Willie said, "I played the game the same every time because I was playing for the fans, not for me. It's their game." Mays was also quoted saying, "Every time I look at my pocketbook, I see Jackie Robinson, considered a classic hero. Robinson died at age 53. The racism he experienced was a major factor, but his life changed baseball and professional sports forever." The second person was also born this day in 1960, Los Angeles, California. And he's another baseball player, one of the best hitters in baseball history, and his name is, why don't I have his name here? Oh, my goodness, what did I do? Well, anyway, I'll have to go with that the next time. Betty Carter was also born the 6th, 1930, in Flint, Michigan, and she died September 26, 1998, in New York, New York. She incorporated bebop into swing jazz. And the fourth person born on that day, May 6th, was Martin Robinson Delaney in 1812 in Charleston, Virginia. He died June 24, 1885 in Wilberforce, Ohio. an African North American abolitionist, black nationalist, and author, the highest-ranking African American or African North American officer during the Civil War. He was the son of a slave and free mother. Delaney stressed the need for black self-reliance, which is what we are about today, which is what this program is all about. And I thank you. Thank you so much.
And all right. Well, that was our history moment. Again, thank you, Sister Coker. And we're going to continue on with our program tonight. And again, we thank all of you for tuning in to this segment of New Day, Resurrection and Liberation. Before we bring on Dr. Randy Short, I want to let you all know that we are going to have some kind of very candid dialogue tonight. And, you know, sometimes we do that. Sometimes it's a little more, like, real than other times. I mean, it's always real, needless to say, but sometimes we just get right to the point of things. And one of the things I want to share with you tonight is that we had gotten word that one of the congressional female women, had a press conference or what have you and did speak out about the kidnapping in Nigeria. And we made a phone call in the attempt to get her on. We thought it was Sheila Jackson Lee that we were calling, and I think, as it turns out, it was Barbara Lee. And what I wanted to report to you was that they denied our request. Okay, we found that real interesting. I wanted to share that with you. We told them we were going to tell y'all, too, by the way, because there was no reason for them to say they would not honor our request. And certainly we made it very clear that if she could not come on tonight, that was not a problem because we had the capability to do a radio program anytime, and we would accommodate whatever their schedule was, but it was a flat, she's not available. Okay, cool. Moving right along. So we just wanted to let you all know that. So we will be seeking out, though, to the other congressional women to at least kind of get a position. And the other thing we want to inform you of is that we did contact the Nigerian embassy, as we said we would, and we're waiting for them to get back to us. And then on Monday, we will be connecting with the United Nations consular on Monday, as well. Lastly, but not least, on this past Monday, I did a radio interview on the Carl Nelson Show, I believe it is. And he's syndicated and is pretty much heard throughout the D.C. area as well. He's on Radio 1 or one of those other stations like that. And it was a very good interview. We did talk about the situation that is happening in Nigeria. And at that point, it was just a discussion around troops being sent in and all that kind of thing. And I made it very clear that I was opposed to that. I'll go more into why I said that a little later on, but clearly, you know, we understand kind of what's going on with some of that, including the fact that the economic summit was to take place in Nigeria as well. So anyway, we're going to talk more about that, but for now we're going to go to our live line. And, of course, you know, when we talk to Dr. Randy Short, it's going to get real hot up in here in a very positive, productive kind of way. We're going to talk not only about this issue, the situation with the girls being kidnapped. That is a real situation, by the way. Now, who's behind it? That's questionable, but it is a real situation. The other thing we're going to talk about, of course, is the murder of Malcolm Latif Chavez. We would be remiss if we did not continue to bring this murder to your attention. I mean, because it's very interesting, you know, if nothing else, it warrants our attention because of who this young man was and would have been and was coming to be. So we're going to share that with you as well. For right now, though, we're going to go and talk with Dr. Rand Short. So let's open up that line, and let's really start getting into some serious dialogue that's going to bring you a lot of insight. And we're going to open up the chat room in about 5 minutes and post a question up in there for you to be able to dialogue there as well. Okay, So let's do this. Let's go to our live line. And joining us now is our brother, Dr. Randy Short. We have you on this line, brother.
Yes. It's nice to be back. It's been a while since we've been together over this program. But it's very critical that we share and get the word out, because the full effect of the Obama curse is taking its toll on the thinking capacity of black folks. In fact, they've done such an incredible psych op on our community, because you have Michelle Obama looking more tranny than Sylvester before he made it big on the disco dance charts. She's been mum about Marissa Alexander or Anasada Shakur and the half dozen black women who've been shot in the head, handcuffed in police cars all over the country, the rape, the abuse. We have a domestic sexual slavery that includes easily 100,000 black females from Africa, the Caribbean, and the United States. As I speak to you, the Eastern Coast hub for sexual slavery is Prince George's County, right outside of Washington, D.C., minutes from where President Obama and his wife reside in public housing, that we wisely, the bicentennials this year, black folks burned with fire on August 23rd, 1814. And so now what I had said to audiences and people were angry in 2011, I told a brother, I think you know him, his name is Dr. Baruch, with Everlasting Life, and he's with the Black Hebrews. I did a program with him, and I denounced Obama and Michelle for bringing the world to the brink of World War III. And I made a comment, the DVD is in the hands of Leola Maddox. They need to give me my original copy back. I don't have any more. I said that Obama was using his Nobel Peace Prize, which he didn't deserve, as a bludgeon to beat Mother Africa. If I wasn't right then with Libya, I'm certainly right now. Boko Haram is a creation of American and British intelligence. I call it poo-poo white scam, and we all need to start calling it what it is. There have been ethnic conflicts for a long time in Nigeria, and they've been stimulated both by opportunistic ethnic leaders, political leaders, and, of course, colonial and post-neocolonial interest. But what has happened now clearly could not be done. Anyone that travels to Nigeria, there are police with guns everywhere. This is not possible without a collusion of the state. It isn't possible for semi-literate people to make sophisticated weapons and bombs and move around. Everything costs in Nigeria. If you're living on so many naira a day, you cannot afford a $2,000 or $3,000 light machine gun. You cannot afford certain sorts of explosives. You can't afford to travel to Chad or to Niger or Mali or Algeria. You need cash money to do that. And if you do not have cash money, then someone has to give it to you.
Mm-hmm.
The United States has been afraid of Nigeria's potential for a long time. I want to bring a name back to you. I mentioned a woman named Joel Mazik to you on our first program together. Joel Mazik, with a woman named Martha Collison and her other sister, organized a movement to prevent the United States from invading Nigeria in 1969. There have been plans to invade Nigeria for a long time from the United States. They were going to go in on the side of Ojukwu, the Biafran secessionists, the Igbos who wanted to break away from Nigeria, in order to secure the oil-rich area. And black activists your foremothers. If you recall, 10 years after or thereabout, President Shigari met with President Tolbert of Liberia to create a new African organization to unify. What ends up happening, Tolbert is dead within a year, shot on the beach with other heads of state in Liberia. And Shigari, perhaps the best Nigerian leader of the last 30 years, who, by the way, many people forget, this Nigerian leader denounced President Jimmy Carter in 1980 or 79-80 in the White House because Jimmy Carter described black people as a problem, and this man denounced him in the White House. Ever since then, there's been an increased problem with Nigeria. Shigari was removed, and you had one successive era of corruption that was worse than ever before. The Nigerian income was in excess of $2,000 per person in 1980. It's about $500 now, to show you that Shigari and them were on the move, and they moved out the people who at least were doing something in Nigeria and replaced them with stooges. And so we need to remember that Nigeria, aside from the 419 scams and the other bad things we hear about Nigeria, has a huge, well-educated, sophisticated population who have often been the one group of Africans next to African Americans who know how to tell white folks to go to hell when they feel like it. They've opposed apartheid. They've opposed white settler colonies in Angola and in Mozambique and in Guinea-Bissau and in Zimbabwe. This is often ignored. Nigerians were the ones who stabilized Sierra Leone and Liberians. Nigeria's presence prevented the French, when they went after Moshood Abiola, of sending more people in. When Nigerians have smart and intelligent, rational leadership, they act like a super black state, of which is an anathema to the Anglo-American white supremacist imperialist structure aided by Zionists and by Wahhabi wannabe Muslims in Saudi Arabia and Qatar. Let us remember that a man who paid for my education posthumously, Chief Moshood K.O. Abiola, denounced racism in Brazil and the United States, and he was rewarded by his election being annulled in 1993. When his wife was shot in the face five times with exploding bullets manufactured in the United States, with the exception of the NewsHour with Jim Lehrer, for which I worked and I risked my job, there was a blackout on the murder of the president-elect who had been kept in jail for years in the American media. Within a year, or just about, our ambassador and our current national security advisor, Susan Rice, went to see Mr. Abiola on the day he was supposed to have been released from imprisonment. She gives him some tea to drink. He dies 2 hours later. By the way, within just a few months earlier, Sani Abacha with some Indian prostitutes is also poisoned. What's going on? And this same wicked Jamaican-American woman who has a Jewish husband, who is a multi-millionaire but came from moderate origins. If you look at the tax returns for Susan Rice, how'd she get so much? Was it payoff for her to look the other way? When there was genocide in Sudan and genocide in Rwanda and genocide where she winked at the mass murdering blacks in Congo? Susan Rice, who's alleged, if you talk to Ugandan activists, that not only is she a poor predictor of what a genocide is going on, but has morals that are lower than a limbo bar. I said it.
Mm-hmm.
This woman who's riled up over 247 women in Nigeria, whose hair, by the way, looks a lot better than the SpongeBob meets the nuclear holocaust that Sheila Jackson Lee had the other day, who's a do-nothing, who's a snob and an arrogant, obese, rude sister who needs to find something else to do along with getting a makeover. And the other women, that other one who looks like Urkel, a light-skinned Urkel with the sex change, the one from California. I'm forgetting her name, but when we were raising the issue of Depo Provera, which is killing millions of black women, I couldn't get one damn black woman in Congress to at least ask a question, is this safe or good? Ava Clayton, 20 years before, at least tried to get rid of the drug. That's killing way more people than Boko Haram. And those same sisters with all this mouth, that's unconvincing because they get money from that lesbian woman, Ellen Malcolm, who has Emily's List. She's no longer the head of it. You have to be for homosexual rights, and you have to be for mass abortion, and you have to be for eugenics against black women to get Democratic Party money. Every black woman in Congress is anti-black and female and anti-unborn and anti-family to be in the business. Mm. So how could they care whether these girls are raped or not as long as they, you know, who cares? They're not in the family. There's mass rape in this country, mass rape in Congo. It's silent. Mass rape in South Sudan, mass rape in Somalia, mass rape in Uganda, mass rape in Central African Republic, mass rape in the Ivory Coast, after the illegal coup where the wife of President Gbagbo is gang raped in front of her husband by American proxies. And they care about rape? Are you kidding me? And now Miss Obama, who speaks up for nothing, becomes the face to ask for black people to go into Africa and mass murder their sisters and brothers. This country, every year, it's a low-end number that 300,000 women are sold into sexual slavery and imported into the United States every year. Someone should invade America. Mass rape of women. What about the Tuwargans in Libya who've been mass raped and mass killed? How come there's silence on that? Or the mass incarceration or the mass rape or killing of children or sexual slavery of children in Mauritania. That President Obama, his government has been on the side of the continued enslavement of the Haritian population in Mauritania. They've been enslaved for 1,200 years. Obama thinks that's not long enough. And so does Michelle because she sleeps with him. I'm sick of black people being so stupid. I'm sick of them not reading. I'm sick of them not asking a question. I mean, if you've been to Africa, or if you know people from Africa, a dollar a day can't afford you an AK-47 or a truck. It can't get hundreds of people who have the leisure time to stage 4 and 5 bombings. There's a thing called WikiLeaks. It's interesting. All these so-called progressive black folks have read about what's happening in Palestine in terms of WikiLeaks, but they didn't read about Africa. Why are we so fixated on Palestinians, but we don't care about Congo? Mm. Or for that matter, New Orleans, mm-hmm. or Newark, or Detroit, or Benton Harbor, or Oakland, or North Philly, or Southeast Washington, or North Miami, or Black Bottom in Atlanta. The information's out there. It abounds. This is a CIA destabilization plot. The current U.S. ambassador to Nigeria helped design the program for the African Crisis Response Initiative, which was designed to destroy ECOMOG. ECOMOG came out of the economic organization that was going to unify West Africa called ECOWAS, where Nigeria would be the dominant partner. Under ECOMOG, and the MOG stands for Monitoring Group, Nigeria sent its soldiers into Sierra Leone and Liberia, where Israel was getting diamonds and France was getting diamonds. Remember that movie Blood Diamonds?
Yes,
well, we got
absolutely.
The blood and they got the diamonds. The Nigerians shut that down. And the United States and England and the other countries were disgusted by the fact that black folks don't need them. We never have. We need them like you and I need a tapeworm, or like we need a case of AIDS with no health care. I mean, we can go on and on, but this same ambassador you have right now designed the team that was set up to continue the destabilization of those countries and to make Nigeria fail and to sow dissension between the West African countries, to marginalize and isolate Nigeria. And to strengthen America, France, and Britain, because Nigeria, with its 200 million or so people, 150 to 200 million people, that's almost the population of the United States, necessarily it's going to have a lot of pull and weight. And if they unified West Africa, from which America gets close to 25% of its oil, a lot of things might change. Things like the number of African immigrants coming to America might change. Do you follow? I was in Nigeria. American naval forces train with Nigerian naval forces in the Delta regions to protect oil installations. Mm-hmm. It's no secret if you read Nigerian papers. America's been over there fighting and killing for a while. The United States has soldiers fighting in about 90 countries at one time. And it's picked up since Obama, our Lord and Savior, who walks on water and feeds the hungry and clothes the naked. Psych. We refuse to see him for what the hell he is. And we deserve the brutality and the abuse that we inflict on our motherland that will come back to us for being so blatantly and willfully pigheaded and stupid. The man is a fraud. His wife is a fraud. Tranny looking, too. And he looks weird as well. And the Congressional Black Caucus, they're all quiet because no president in the history of America, with the exception of those going back to Reconstruction, have seen so many black politicians across the country jailed and prosecuted as what happened since January 2009. By the way, it's in 2009, and let us remember, Susan Rice and Brzezinski are Obama's go-to people for Africa. Remember the Brzezinski document where Brzezinski doesn't want Africans and African-Americans getting along, National Security Memorandum 46. That's when they came up with Boko Haram. When Obama got in office, Boko Haram was like shake and bake. And they've shaked lies and baked lies, and we've eaten it. Now, they don't care a damn thing about black women who are raped. We have thousands of black women missing in this country. Did you ever hear Michelle Obama say one thing about him? Because she's a lying tramp. I said it. When she let people die at the hospital where she worked, where her job was to keep poor black women from getting medical care, to keep the beds empty for white paying customers, why would she care about a foreign country where her friends Bill and Melinda Gates experiment on millions of black folks with unsafe vaccines? There was a case in Niger within the last 2 years where they were doing all kinds of crazy things to black girls, injecting them with things that weren't even safe. The information's out here. Guilty of is thinking that caring about which new basketball or football player is going to declare whether they're gay or not, who cares? They all could be fags as far as I'm concerned. Whether we exist or not as a race 10 years from now is more important to me. Who cares about Lil Wayne? Or would that boy throw that boy pussy? That's ridiculous. So here we are. Our women and children are at risk again. We get concerned about a few hundred somewhere else, and we don't ask the larger question. What about the mass murder and rape of folks in Ivory Coast when Gbagbo was taken out and when Gaddafi was moved and all of this everywhere? Over everywhere, Haiti, where the women are being mass raped by UN soldiers as well as Haitian men. And where did all the money go? The Red Cross, which is a racist Red Cross. It was going bankrupt until they did that harp and caused the earthquake in Haiti. And then they took the blood money from the Haitian people and put it in their pockets. And African Americans, who disgust me for the last 5 years, didn't even notice that Obama refused to let aid go in to help the Haitian people until a lot of them died in the rubble. Should have let us know what was coming. And so now he wants to go to war in Nigeria. If you have a war in Nigeria, they plan to split Nigeria into about five parts. When they had the war in Biafra between 1967 and 1970, as many as 3 million Nigerians died. How many do you think are going to die this time? And we get so worked up. We are able to speak up once white people say, well, there's a problem in Africa. I'm very angry that we've got cases of mass pedophilia by black ministers, Protestant and otherwise, and Catholic, and no action. Well, I'm not going to talk about the Catholics. Let's just deal with the Church of God in Christ. I mean, you know, let's just pick something smaller. How come that doesn't matter? How come it doesn't matter about the thousands, 100,000 black teachers displaced, replaced by white folks who are molesting black kids in schools across the country? That's rape, too.
Mm-hmm.
Not a peep. So, no, I don't want the women. I need to let everybody know. My DNA test up, I'm at least 25% Hausa. It means it's my group that's getting slaughtered, and I don't like it. At the same time, what about Congo? What about the Tutsis? What about the Lord's Resistance Army? And what about the mass rape of the Luo women in Uganda? And the mass rape of women in public schools in Kenya and in Malawi? And why is it that on one hand they're promoting homosexuality all over Africa, now all of a sudden they're concerned about how men treat women? I mean, get your life straight, Obama. Get your life straight, black Americans. I mean, if you don't want people to have morality in their society, you're doing everything. All the while I'm saying this, in Nigeria, they finally got abortion in an Imo state, and they're working on Nigeria to have same-sex marriage. They're pouring millions of dollars to help the expansion of Christian churches in Nigeria, often the most reactionary, racist white people in America who hate black folks, pour their money into Nigerian ministers who go in and antagonize people who are Muslim. Deliberately so. This isn't an accident. The growth of evangelical churches, and I come from a Pentecostal background, the CIA funded a lot of these churches. President Rios Montt of Guatemala was a Pentecostal, as he helped kill up to 600,000 Mayan Indians in Guatemala. There's a whole lot going on, so much more than what the mainstream media, and I haven't even gotten deep. I'm just trying to throw stuff out there to say to you. And after the African Crisis Response Team, we got AFRICOM. If you look at Press TV, the next, I put it up on my Facebook page, the next thing you're going to have a raghead or a towelhead knockoff poo-poo white scam in Algeria, because Algeria has refused to let AFRICOM have bases there. So that's the next country. Now everyone's going to start cutting throats and everything. And you need to know something. Algeria is very important. The Algerians worked with the CIA and the French to shut down their Islamists back in the 90s. And they had a group, was like a Boko Haram, that went around killing everyone. That group then moved into Mali. That group also helped train Boko Haram. President Obama supports the Islamists, killers of blacks and others and Christians in Syria, in Libya, in Tunisia, in Egypt. It's just a fact. So all of you who have those pictures and posters, they even have Obama condoms and toilet paper. I mean, I'd get a rash if I used those, so I'll just stick with the regular dollar store brand. Amen. Keep it straight there. That's what we got. Symbolism with toxic substance. I'm wondering, where will they invade or destroy next? I'm going to stop there.
Yeah, and that's a good point. Dr. Randy, I want you to hold that point. We're going to bring in Dr. Ajua, and we're going to continue this dialogue, family. We're going to come to your calls very shortly as well after we hear from our sister. We want to know what your comment is. What do you think about what Dr. Randy Short has just conveyed to us? We've been hearing a lot of things this past week. He has definitely filled in some of the missing blanks and some of the other things that have been floating around in the ethers and some of our brains. We want to also add, of course, there's another name, another corporation is out there known as Monsanto that is said to have something to do with this as it pertains to land. And for those who do somewhat of research here and there or regularly, then you already know the Gates Foundation is, of course, doing all kinds of things in Africa. Before we go to E.I. Ajua, I want to also remind you that recently there was something in Washington, D.C. called, believe it or not, a Million Woman March for Endometriosis. Now, for those of you who follow our program, you know ain't nowhere in the world we had anything to do with that, but I want to kind of connect those dots to show you how slick these people are. Because it was several major corporations, medical corporations, that backed that thing. Now, it was poorly attended. It was poorly participated. But that wasn't the idea. The idea was to fool the people and make it seem like Real Women March was endorsing some kind of endometriosis research and things of that nature. Now, I'm saying this right now because, again, tomorrow is Mother's Day for some and for us every day, but the point being, these people have plans, and they are very shrewd and very crude in what they're doing. They have plans to go into Africa to use these trial drugs on our women and our girls under the guise of, oh, we want to help the women to be more fertile and blah, blah, blah. Yes, we're putting it out there to you. We're going to give you more information about it because these jokers got to be exposed before they are up and running to our line. And let's see, we're going to bring in Sister Iya Ajua, and we're going to talk more about our women and girls. You know, there's some other things we're going to convey to you as well in terms of the Mean Women Movement. We've just been talking with Dr. Randy Short, who, of course, has given us quite a bit of insight, because, family, what we are telling you is there's an attack. Well, you all know that, certainly. But what you may not be aware is some of the new tactics or the different tactics that the enemy is now employing. And while it's about all of us, without a shadow of a doubt, there's a game plan going on. And we've been telling you this. And then we're going to go to the line. I just want to remind you, last week we had the story of Sister Brittany Brown, who was found dead, naked, tied, and raped. I received a message today. We're still trying to raise money for this 26-year-old woman's headstone who had two children. We're going to talk about that next week again. We'll get an update. But this past week I got another situation that's here in Philadelphia. This happened, though, maybe a few weeks ago. Another young sister, I think she was 23, thereabouts, She had a caretaker because she had some sort of mental kinds of things going on, but she had a person who was taking care of her. The person loses her, and she ends up dead somewhere. We're getting these stories every day. Lastly, here in Philadelphia again, man finds his estranged wife, shoots her, and then shoots himself just last week. We're getting these stories every day. No one seems to care. Today we had a rally. I can tell you the number of people that came to the rally today was not only disgusting, unacceptable, but dishonorable. Sisters, I don't know what y'all doing or what you're thinking about, but I can tell you this. We're going to go to our line now and talk with our sister. Iya Ajwa. Mahotep. Wait a minute. You're coming in. Hold on. There we go. We got you.
Mahotep, Sister Soleil. Thank you again, Asante Sana Madaa Fay, for all the work that you continue doing for us. And I just want to shout out one of our sisters, Ada. She did show up. Her and I, we were down there. We missed you. You moved so fast. So I know I was late getting down there, but we did show up down there. But you're right. Sisters, we doing a lot. You know, but we could take, you know, just take a little time out and come together so that we can, you know, problem solve all these situations that are going on in our communities around the world. And, Dr. Randy set the whole background. Nigeria is notorious. It's going, you know, both ways. And I think the U.S. is you know, I think that there's, scared of them in the sense that they are a force to be reckoned with, Nigeria. Now, if they would do the right thing in terms mm-hmm. of taking care of their family, their very own people, it would be really powerful. And, of course, definitely these young ladies, our African daughters, they need to come home. They need to come home. And while we're putting that call out, in the spirit of Umoja, let us bring the 64,000 plus that are missing right here in these United Snakes of America, KKK, let us bring them forward as well, you know, and over 235,000 missing Africans in this country alone. And it was Dick Gregory that always told us what they're doing. They've been harvesting for organs for a long time. You know, So keep track of your family. Don't sit your cup down and then pick it back up to drink. Don't do that because you could wake up with a scar if you wake up at all, you know, with one of your body parts missing. So it's just a really ugly situation that's going on. First of all, Boko Haram is they call them an insurgent group, but they're funded by NATO, you know. Who comprises NATO? France, the U.S., Germany, all these, you know, the same people that continue to oppress us all around the world. And shout out to my family in Papua New Guinea. We cannot forget about them. We cannot forget about our African family in Papua New Guinea. They are standing strong. They are fighting. You know, they're fighting the Indonesian government. The Indonesian government is oppressing them in hellish ways. Ways that we've never thought of. And, you know, well, maybe we did think of those ways, you know, in our earlier times here, you know. Mm-hmm. But they are standing their ground. They are standing their ground. And shout out to our family in Burundi and Rwanda because it is not over yet. It's not mm-hmm. over. They are not done with those areas. The Congo, like Dr. Randy Short said, the Congo is not done. It's, wherever mm-hmm. there are resources, these folks aim to get what they want to get, and human life is collateral damage. They don't care. They don't care. And I want all family out there to look up this movie called The Constant Gardener because, again, Dr. Randy Short is so correct that, you know, we have these large pharmaceutical industries. That, you know, the pharmacy industry is number one in this country, with number two being what? The prison industrial complex. But the pharmaceutical industry is number one in this country. And so what they do is they go, you know, and they go into countries where there are black and brown people. I mean, in some areas where our family lives, you know, they're coming out to go about their regular day, and all of a sudden these folks are showing up in lab coats with needles, and they're sticking them. You know, they don't know what they're injecting in them. They have no recourse. It's a very, very wicked world that we live in, very wicked. And with what I saw that's going on right here in this country with the core common state standards, I mean, we really have to get on the ball. We really need to get our children. We need to know what's going on in these schools, these schools which are manufacturers for what? For prison fires. This is what they want to do, develop prison. They have built those prisons, and they aim to fill them. And we're sitting by as if we still have the same rights and the same environment is in place. No, it's not. It's not. It's not in place. Remember, we need to be keeping track also of what's happening with this ability for the government to use drones to seek out people and kill them. Now, they already have the permission to do it outside of the U.S., so it's just a matter of time before they start doing it inside the U.S. And I'm not saying all this to make people paranoid, but we need a reality check. We really do. We need a reality check. We need to know what's going on. We need to hold our so-called politicians accountable for servicing us because that's what's being done with our tax dollars. And we need to come together so that we can, you know, plan and come up with strategies for how we can live productive, progressive lives using our own tax dollars. That's what we need to do. So shout out to the 64,000-plus missing African females right here in this country. Definitely shout out to the African girls who are missing in Nigeria. But, like, my hashtag is, bring them all forward. Bring all missing Africans forward.
Thank you, sister. Now, what we're going to do is open up our lines for you all. If you have a comment or a question for Dr. Randy Short or Dr. Iya Adua, please push one now. We're going to get ready to entertain your calls, accept your calls, your comments, because that's very, very important for us. That's what this program is about. Your input makes this be what it needs to be. So, again, push one now, and we're going to get ready to take some calls. We want to also remind you, going back, Sister Gia just mentioned something, and I want to also add another murder that occurred again in Chicago. Their funerals were the same day, as a matter of fact. And I'm saying this because I'm going to wait until Kim and Freya comes on to elaborate because he actually went to one of the funerals. But one was a sister who is an activist. Now, from what I was told, this is like the second activist that has been murdered. And so it appears that people who are kind of doing things in the community to try to, you know, bring some harmony or whatever or stop this or whatever, they getting killed. So we better watch this carefully. Now, the other thing, the other murder that happened, this woman was, this young girl was 14 years old. And apparently there was a dispute between a young 14-year-old and another young 14-year-old over a boy, a young male. A 25 or 26-year-old gave the 14-year-old a gun. The 14-year-old shot the young sister, and she died. That's the funeral that Chairman Fred went to. This is the kind of stuff that's going on. And this is why we're telling sisters. Said this was a black female that gave a gun to a 14-year-old. That 14-year-old shot another 14-year-old.
Wow.
So I don't want to hear anymore about, I don't like you, we don't do this together. I don't want to hear this anymore.
Right.
This is not going to be acceptable, and we're going to start calling this out. If these groups and organizations or these women, of our women, are not addressing these issues of our women and girls, guess what? We're going to create a list and update it every week.
or however often, and
that's
make it very clear. No more fronting, no more fraud.
That's right.
Enough is really enough. They
yes,
can
it
fill
is.
These prisons up with these young girls because we're getting
they
all these pictures.
Do.
Yes, because
yes,
we're not addressing these sisters.
Process.
And that's
okay.
The new prison pipeline. It's all about putting us in there, but they want these young girls. Why? Because these are the future mothers, the future mothers, folks, who have children, and the system wants the children.
Mm-hmm.
So it's
mm-hmm.
not about what you think or what you like or don't like or you think this person is about that. Forget it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's time to move on and get this work done. With that said, the chat room is getting ready to be open, and we're going to also go to some lines now. Let's see what we got here. Ooh, we got a whole bunch of folks. Okay, thank y'all much. Okay, caller, you're at 9302. We're going to open up your mic. Woo, 9302. Hold up. Wait a minute. Somehow it's getting a little slow here. We got so many on. Wait a minute. Trying to get you in, 9302. Okay, we got your mic open. 9302, your mic is open.
All right. Greetings, everyone.
Greetings to you, Gloria.
Where do we begin? This is social engineering. This has started 5 decades ago of planning. Our lives have been planned. I was just doing a report I read on Reverend Pinckney's show on Sunday, and I found a report about Rockefeller, and he used the people from Chicago in the 60s as the laboratory, lab rats, but they used them right in the city with his top social engineers. And social engineering is just putting us and placing us where they want us. And with the technology now, it can literally put you to sleep. But what they're using on the mass population is a low. It just keeps you down. It doesn't keep you worried about anything. Everything is all right. It's not happening to me. But the minute I heard it, and then when I saw Michelle, # bring our girls back, I was like, what? You know, it was like a setup. It was another false flag. That's what I could see. Thank you for listening.
And thank you, Sister Gloria. Okay. I'm going to take another call. Let's see what we've got here. Caller, you're at 2412. We're going to open up your mic right about now. 2412, your mic is open.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. I am just enjoying this conversation. This is Sister Hattie in Minneapolis, Minnesota.
Hey, Sister Hattie. Yeah.
Okay. Thank you for doing the show and really getting it to the root of all of the evil. Because truly, evil is all around us. That's the same thing that I initially thought. I see this man in front of this, only God knows how much that vehicle costs, talking about they're going to sell these girls. And I'm thinking, okay, who's supplying him with the money? And who is that? I mean, I don't know. Somebody is.
Your tax dollar.
Yes. And we know they've been after Nigeria forever. So this is just confirmation of that. And then I take a look around at the child protection here in the United States of America have the audacity to think that we think they really care about these African-American children. They're going to have to come up with one better than that because we know it's a system thing, prison the pipeline deal. And, yes, people in the community that are doing some things, that are activists, they are ended up already being murdered. Who knows? Drones may be already doing these things. If we look around us, and I just will close with this, you have a camera on every corner. You all are being surveyed just as I am every step. They know where I am every moment of the day here in Minneapolis, Minnesota. Law enforcement does. Why? I don't know. An old woman like me, retired teacher, principal, associate superintendent, why are you monitoring me? Well, I guess it's because you don't like what I'm saying. Well, freedom of speech is out the window. But I can tell you this, all these murders, all the crime that's going on, all you have to do is turn on the camera and roll it back. You know who's doing what, when, where, and what have you. So, crime fighters, please. Everything is under surveillance.
Thank you, Sister Hattie. And we're going to take one more call. Before we do, though, we're going to go back to Angela and Dr. Randy Short. Dr. Randy Short, I wanted to ask this question as we've been hearing a lot of very, I think, important information and certainly insightful stuff. There's something else that I kind of heard, and we're still kind of trying to get some confirmation on some things, and that is we heard earlier in the week that the Nigerian president was talking about turning the oil into it being, you know, the national kind of thing as opposed to, you know, the private thing that they have going on. We know that this was something that Gaddafi was also considering from what we've been told. What do you think about that?
Well, I always call him Bad Luck Johnson or Jonathan Bad Luck. I don't know if luck is the right, it rhymes with what I want to really call it. Honestly, the man looks like a tar baby out of the Rare Rabbit children's book. I mean, the hat, he looks like a scarecrow, you know, that you know, needs some Slim Fast. Just, I have to get that out. Just, he doesn't look respectable. That may be his traditional dress. I wish he would switch. But he's a thug. He's played a game. They thought that they put in a yes man southerner for other people to manipulate, and it turns out that this man is a jackal of his own kind. And he's been played. If you recall, within the last year, several presidents from Africa were invited to the White House, but he wasn't invited. Remember, he had the big, like a slave.
Yes.
He had the big country. He has a country with almost 200 million people in it, and they're going to let someone from Gabon that has maybe a million get in before someone who has 200 times that population, and nobody noticed that. So, you know, Obama has let everybody know he didn't like him. But there's a document that the former head of state, Chief Obasanjo, wrote him within the last 4 or 5 months, asking Jonathan Goodluck, or within the last year, what did he and other governors have to do with Boko Haram? Because if you notice, they're not killing rich or powerful people. It's been only poor people. And you hear about what Boko Haram does, but you don't hear about how the Nigerian army goes in and massacres people. They didn't just do that. You see, you have insurgencies all over Nigeria. You have an insurgency in the Niger Delta. The Ijaws, the Ken Sarawiwa's group.
Ngoni people.
The Ngoni. You've got several groups down there fighting. The Ogoni, yeah, that's a group.
Yep.
You have a lot of people fighting all over Nigeria. But those southern people, one thing, he's sort of like, you have to say, good luck or bad luck is like Obama. A lot of southerners have been waiting for a long time to get one of theirs to be president, thinking that would change. It hasn't. However, he's focused his aggression on hurting people in the northern part of the country because he wants to undermine and destabilize people so he can win an election.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Because they have elections next year. He said he was only going to term, remember? You had a Nigerian head of state who died.
Mm-hmm.
He replaced the Muslim one. He wasn't supposed to go for another term. He's betrayed his promise to them. Okay, and he wants to stay. So he's undermining those areas where he has opposition. Now, let's go back to 1993. In 1993, Moshood Abiola won the best and fairest election in the history of Nigeria. And America and everybody else got together, and they helped the military, which they support under the table, deny allowing this man to be president. In
mm-hmm.
fact, when he declared himself the winner, they threw him in jail from 1993 until he died in 1998 after Susan Rice, you know, gave him a health drink.
Mm-hmm.
All right? So when you look at this, one of the things that made Abiola a threat to the West and everyone else is that he won about 60% of the electorate. All over the country, everybody could agree to it.
Yeah.
They don't. So understand that normally in Nigeria, the voting is broken down by region or by ethnicity, or which is complicated by religion and class.
Mm-hmm.
This guy, I believe, is trying to undermine where his rivals will come from in the north. And by militarizing the country, bringing the Americans in, he can do that. I think in terms of oil, I don't really believe that he wanted to do that, because he'd be a dead man if he told British Petroleum and Aquitaine mm-hmm. Alpha France, other people, and Chevron that they weren't going to get their share. I believe that was being said because he made a commitment. I have pictures, and I can send them to you. The woman who's in charge of ending corruption in the government of Nigeria, I'm forgetting her name, but she's a dead ringer for Mahalia Jackson.
Mm.
Same face, if you know what Mahalia Jackson looks like.
Yes.
There's a woman. And mm-hmm. I think they want to appear as if things are fair. But to this day, 95% of the wealth in Nigeria goes to 1% of the population. It's stashed in London, stashed in Paris, stashed in New York, stashed in Switzerland. So you say these things, but there's no way that anyone would stand for him sharing that with everybody else, because they wouldn't go for it. And if he were really going to do that, don't you think that the elite would be trying to kill people, kill other elites, versus folks killing rural people and schoolgirls and schoolboys? Really? I understand what I'm saying, so I don't believe it. In fact, if he was for nationalization, why didn't they back Gaddafi?
Exactly. Exactly.
So these people, he's a liar. The system is based on lies. He got power on a lie.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And he's going to use lies to stand. But let me share with you what I think is happening. These folks, he thinks that he's a player, and he's being played. They
mm-hmm.
can take the same military folks that they're arming, because now you have American intelligence and everything, and British intelligence and Israeli intelligence and NATO folk. Everybody's in Nigeria. If he ever tries to do anything, he's dead. And they're going to use him because he's a divisive figure. So when they run him in the national election next year, because our government's intelligence information predicts that Nigeria is going to implode next year.
Mm.
By the way, there's prediction that South Africa will implode in 2016. So the two key powers in sub-Saharan Africa, if I can use that term, they already have Egypt about to implode, the three dominant countries, north, west, and south, have imploded. Congo in the center is gone. Kenya is in bad shape on the east side. Every place that seems to be a hub or hopeful is in terrible disarray. And they've got the Kenyans with the civil war, with the Somalis and other people there.
Exactly.
So everywhere you've got chaos on the entire African continent, and what are they going to do? Say, oh, well, we need to come and bring order, as if white folks can order anything except for diarrhea.
Wow. Now, you know, I wanted to share with folks that on Nigerian Watch, they're claiming that the U.S. Marines, and this is from yesterday, have carried out the first arrest of two Boko Haram members in Benue State. And you know, when I saw this, I said, you know, somebody posted, I said, well, look, this could be anyone, you know. So they're saying that they're claiming that they're currently in Nigeria to help the government combat
They've been in Nigeria 10 years.
Exactly.
I was in Nigeria in 2008. They were doing joint military exercises in 2008.
I bet you one of the first African military bases was in Nigeria. You know? And so it's just, This stuff is just really crazy. It's really putting humans in the face of, you know, their greed. You know, they're putting humans, they're using humans as fodder for their greed, because there's no way a country as big as Nigeria, Jonathan Goodluck, or Goodluck Jonathan, whatever his name is, he says that, oh, well, the country is so big that he can't control what happens in the north. That's a lie. Not only is it a lie,
he can control them not getting any share of the national wealth. If he lets some money flow up there, that would shut it down. He's completely capable of controlling. He doesn't want to. Let's go
and
on. I want to mention something. You need to know that there's a very good article that's called Green and White. Green and White is a group of Nigerian activists that are watching Boko Haram. And there's one thing that they brought up, that there's a software. Americans have been using high-tech spying on all the Nigerians in public life to catch them in corruption, affairs, you name it, to get them to serve the interests of the United States. This has been going on for a while. And anybody that doesn't do what they want, you know, the nudie pictures of you with the little girls or whatever, gets to your wife, gets in the paper or whatever. So when you don't need Marines. They know what everyone's doing. They probably know when we touch ourselves and probably jealous how long we do. Ooh, we can imagine how much they got. That's how obsessive our presses are. So they don't need boots on the ground. They already have it. Nigeria has an army.
Exactly.
They can handle this stuff.
They can handle it. They've been handling it all this time.
But as they cut the budget here, then you make chaos and you make the African countries pay. Us. To solve problems that, not us, that Anglos start. So intelligence groups and security groups like XE, which used to be Blackwater, they're now in Nigeria getting paid for teaching folks how to make bombs and then say, oh, we caught a few people, we couldn't help the other thing. You have to remember, within the last 2-3 years, there were 3 bombings that occurred in the capital city, Abuja. The United States government knew all about it.
They sure did. The last one happened, that was on May 8th. And they, you know, they had the bombing in Abuja on May 8th. They couldn't even have the ECOWAS meeting that they were going to have, you know, Nigeria. Yeah, so they couldn't even.
Before May 8th, on May 2nd, they had a bombing. That supposedly left, how many people? 16, I think it was.
And that was me
talking. Okay, we're talking about the same thing. Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yep, we're talking about the same thing.
This was announced in advance. In fact, it was announced in advance in 2009. I've been watching Boko Haram for 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
They predicted that Boko Haram was going to start doing more violent stuff before the group was even formally established. How do you know?
Because they pay them, and they made them
exactly.
up. That's like they always do.
Exactly.
That's what they
let
do.
Let me share something with you all. I'm going to go back 10 years. There was a movie called Blood on the Sun with Bruce Willis, and it was
mm-hmm.
based on America invading Nigeria.
Mm-hmm. I remember that movie.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people don't realize Hollywood lets you know.
Yes.
What happened. And I remember being with a group of Nigerian students. We protested the film, so they didn't show
mm-hmm.
it on campus. But I told someone, all you Africans out there that are listening, I have a bad word. I'm going to tell you what it is. For people from the African continent that are black that don't get it, I call them Contis. All you Conti out there who think that you're ahead of us, you don't know a doggone thing about the white man, we've been dealing with them 500 years. Nigeria was colonized for 90 years. In fact, I had to embarrass some Nigerian who told me he understood white people. He says, you know what, my grandmother lived to be 95 years old. My grandmother lived longer under white rule than your entire country. I had a cousin that lived 116, which means they had more exposure to white supremacy than Nigerians did directly. You can't know as much as we do about them. And so all these Conti out here, they're about to get the same white boot kicked up the same behind that we have. And maybe this will help us come together. Have you ever tried to talk to someone African? They didn't want to hear anything you had to say, especially if they had a green card or won the lottery.
So
it's now the chickens, the African continental Conti coming home to roost, that they're going to get treated KKK style there in the motherland. Maybe some of them will wake the hell up. Racism is not an African-American myth or an imagination or an excuse.
That's
it is
right.
a global phenomenon. And Papua, they're dealing with it. The blacks who are Muslims in Sri Lanka are dealing with it.
Yes.
The Rohingya, they're clearly black, the ones they're killing in Burma. Look how dark they are. Everybody blacks in hell.
Mm-hmm.
And there's going to be some violence in New Caledonia. Watch. The French don't want to give that up. In the middle of the Pacific, we're catching hell everywhere.
Everywhere.
But on the African
Worldwide.
Continent, if you want to meet, there's no more clueless, brain-dead group of people on the face of the earth than the continental Africans when it comes down to knowing what the white folks are about. So you know what? Maybe AFRICOM is the psychological X-lax that will move that blockage out of the mindset of Africans to wake up and realize that this isn't an excuse for us to be on welfare or on crack. It is a real system that oppresses and squeezes the life of all of us and violates us at our spiritual and metaphysical core.
Mm-hmm.
And it is an ontological struggle that will only end when we end that system. There is no way to coexist. There's no way to just make money in America and pretend that racism won't come to you. I'm thinking about the Nigerian man who got on drugs and murdered his mother in Baltimore.
Mm.
A lot of them, a lot of these Africans sit up here. They're cracking up in America. You know, they think it's coming to America. I mean, the only way you really come to America is on a boat. If you flew over here, you don't get it. Somebody say amen.
Now, on that point, I want you both to hold that right there because we want to go to our lines again, give our folks the opportunity to come on in. So let's see, caller, you're at 7492. We're going to bring you into the dialogue, hopefully you're ready to join us. You got a lot of noise going on there, though. 7492, your mic is open.
Yes, Robinson Green, sister, how you doing?
Very good. Thank you.
Yeah, I don't have too much to say. You just said it all today. I just laugh. It just but this is really directed to your audience. A lot of times you judge people not what they say but what they do. And each year, you know, we have an institution that we call African Liberation Day. And the whole purpose of this institution was geared towards making sure that African people on the primary, when you're dealing with primary sources, can come and find out the real realities of what is going on in Africa and throughout the world as relates to our people and their connectedness. Everything that Brother Randy Short have stated is a total reflection that can be viewed by Nkrumah's statement on the day that when Ghana received that independence, I believe back around 58, when he quote-unquote, paraphrased it, said independence of Ghana means nothing without the total liberation and unification of Africa as a whole. These independent countries cannot take on the West to survive. Either we all can unite or we all can be colonized by them again. But to me, this is just another version of the Berlin Conference, 1984-85. It's an ongoing process to recolonize Africa. And African Liberation Day is an important institution, particularly in this country, for those Africans that are seriously talking about trying to figure out which way forward. That I would highly encourage your audience to come to Washington, D.C. next weekend, May the 17th, at the Festival Center, 1640, Columbia Road, Northwest. Let's have this serious discourse, this serious discussion on what the hell is really going on with our people and how to best unite. And I must say, as an organizer for the All African People Revolutionary Party, GEC, we've been in the forefront of seriously looking at these issues of our people and dealing with it from a revolutionary perspective and now the reforms. This year, our theme is going to talk about smash the colonial intelligentsia, see how the true face of the counter-revolution. That's who we need to look at. We need to identify who are our enemies in our communities and who are our real friends. Because it's the neocolonial intelligentsia that allow all of this bullshit to take place. So we got to be more succinct in terms of identifying who our enemies are and not speaking so much generalities. When we talk about institutions, we're also talking about people. I don't know if you're familiar with, but Al Gore just made a statement last week that they got to start managing the fertility of the Africans. Have anybody heard about that statement? What is the implication of that?
What? Someone has some background noise going on, so I'm not sure who it is, but we need to try to keep that out because it's just kind of muffling stuff. But I'm sorry. Go ahead, Brother Lee.
Oh, yeah, but I'm just saying, you know, I wonder if people were familiar with the statement Al Gore just made about controlling the fertility rate in aspects of African people in Africa.
Nope. No, I didn't hear it.
I mean, you know, this is unbelievable. The things they're saying, the things they're doing, and, you know, it's just so much could be said. You know, I just would like to, we would like to meet with the serious folks, clearly understanding it's important for our unity is if we don't do it together, then we're all going to be consumed. That's the bottom line. So that's why I just want to say something.
And you're
going to
be coming on tomorrow, correct? And because you sound like you're on speakerphone, so it's kind of hard hearing you. Yes, you're going to be coming on tomorrow. Actually, we were able to do 7:30, so we're going to get you on tomorrow. And tomorrow's topic will be the special edition family, and we will be talking about African Liberation Day, historical perspective, and also presently as well as future African Liberation Day. So we'll have Brother Lee joining us tomorrow. And Brother Lee, who's going to be joining us tomorrow at 7:30?
We're going to have representative who represents Zimbabwe for Zimbabwe Herald, Brother Opie. We got the brother from UNIA, Brother Singor. We're going to have the sister out of Haiti, Sister Ezeal, hopefully. We're going to probably Palestinians and some other folks. Just tell the people to serious tune in tomorrow night and they'll see a show. They'll have a program we've never seen before. We can do it the African way, with revolution first. anything else comes afterwards.
Yeah.
So,
is that Ezili Danto?
Say that again?
Ezili Danto, you going to have one with you tomorrow?
Yeah, we hope to have her. We invited her. I'm trying to wait to confirm her. She did the one other day with us, so we're going to try to definitely get her on there because she has a very unique, interesting presentation in Haiti.
Oh, yeah.
What's going on in Haiti.
Yes.
No doubt.
And
a few years ago, we had dinner in Chicago.
Yeah, yeah.
Very, very powerful sister.
Yeah, she is. Anyway, sister, I just called you. We see y'all tomorrow night at 7:30. But I'll be talking to you before then. And we hope that you'll have an audience with me tomorrow at 7:30.
Okay. All right. Just thanks.
I look forward
to it. All right. Thank you. Okay, we're going to take one more call, and then we're going to get ready to wrap up, and we're going to go to caller at 6029. We're going to open up your mic now, and you're on. What happened to you? Oh, there we go. We got you. 6029, your mic is open.
Peace, sister. Peace, campus.
Peace, brother Hockey. Yeah.
How you doing?
How's
listen, I'm feeling in the black today, girl. You know, what I'm hearing, you know, I'm impressed with what I'm hearing, you know. But let me just, I'm not going to stress anybody out. I was contemplating on actually talking about economic reality as it impacts on America. But I realized in talking about that it really depresses people. So I'm not going to do that. I'm going to stay away from that. But what I will say very generally is that what we have to understand is that this economy is in decay. And these people are very, very desperate in terms of maintaining control. So that's part of the problem in terms as it relates to Africa. So when we look at it in terms of the Boko Haram nonsense, it's very, very clear that what these guys are doing strategically, tactically, ideologically, makes no sense at all. So for the issue, somebody else. So we understand that. Oh, what a noise. The back
Yeah, I'm not sure who that is. I'm going to see what I can do.
Yeah.
Go ahead, brother. I got you. Go ahead.
Yeah. So, any event, I think that, just in the context of America, I think our people better get prepared for very, very difficult times. And, and understanding that all of this is a result of a crazy economic system, which, has no real logic. It was totally driven by greed and avarice. So we have to understand the nature of the beast and just prepare ourselves for whatever comes down the road, and organization is so, so important. But conveying that message in terms of just how precarious we are and just how precarious the system is, I think it's going to take some tact in terms of making people, receptive to the idea in terms of America is not as great or powerful as you think it is.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, there's a tremendous amount of instability when it comes to the system. And some kind of way we have to educate our people without overwhelming them with too much reality. So it's a very difficult balance, but it has to be done. And so I'm going to close with saying that, I'm enjoying the program. Just keep doing what you're doing.
All right, my brother. Well, give thanks as usual. You always have something that is just on point. And, again, we thank you for that. Okay, let's see. We're going to go back to Dr. Randy Short. I had to kind of mute you out for a minute, dear brother, because I think that was the noise I was picking up, and I'm going to bring you back in right now. So we should be able to do that in a few minutes. Okay, yep, got you now. Yep, that was you, because I'm hearing that noise again. So I'm not sure where you're at, but it's kind of giving us some feedback.
Well, you're going to get feedback because the government doesn't want me talking to you. Yeah, I'm talking to you. But I don't mind hanging up. You just know I'm on the phone talking to another political person, and they monitor calls. I got a call from one of the founders of the Pan-African Congress from South Africa while we were on air, and we couldn't even hear each other talking the other day. So we talk to people that are in struggle, then they bother our telecommunications. But I can sign off, and I can say without.
Good.
Okay.
You're good now.
So,
you're showing up good now.
All I want to say is Boko Haram is a scam. If you don't care about black women in America, in fact, not one white man has ever been convicted of raping a black woman in this country
in 400 years. How can anybody care about black on black, as they would call it, rape in black Africa?
Hello.
I mean, make up your minds. Get your lies straight, white supremacists, so they're not even consistent. At least Hitler was consistent. Hitler was consistent. I mean, I don't know what these people are on. So, and Michelle Obama, who's, as I said, aside from looking kind of tranny to me, has been silent about Assata Shakur. Why do you care about 270 women in Nigeria when your husband can put a $2 million price on a black woman victim of rape in Cuba, a grandmother? I'm sick of these people. I'm sick of black Democrats. I'm sick of black folks who want to go along to get along. In church, out of church, want to be Muslim, Buddhist, no re renge, kiyo, whatever the hell you're into. I'm sick of it. When are we going to get smart? And no, I don't want to be a Moor, and I don't want to have some Islamic name. I want justice, peace, and righteousness and development with some common sense. So if they don't care about the hundreds of kids who die on the streets of Chicago within a mile radius of Obama's home, how the hell could she care about somebody in Nigeria? She doesn't give a damn. In fact, if she cared, don't spend $20 million to visit Africa. Write a check and send it to some of these village leaders.
Okay.
That's how I feel about it. And I hope I've offended some of you Obama slaves out there. Y'all had a long enough time to know that it's nothing but a bowel movement and the toilet don't flush, so it stinks. It's an elephant with diarrhea with a colostomy bag in our living room, and we don't want to say it stinks. If it were a white elephant, you would. Now, all of a sudden, and we're inconsistent, we hate being black, we judge everything black, until it gets white approval and put in the White House. Now all of a sudden it's something black we can't criticize or objectively look at or subjectively look at. We're sick.
You know, it's so interesting that you said that, because we went to a gentrification meeting today that was hosted by a black elected show, a state representative, and it was
That's
so interesting
sign.
That he invited as part of the presentation, the only white person in the room, he invited them. And, you know, it was like, why? I mean, we didn't really come there to hear them, even though they had information
sure you
that
did.
Was relevant.
Sure you did. Sure you did.
Yeah, right.
It's the same way that Negroes used to go to church back in the antebellum period, and someone white had to be there to watch to make certain that nothing good happened.
Well,
I can assure you
that when we all left out of there, the climate in that room gave a clear indication that I don't think so. So as we now proceed, there's going to be some different things happening. People are not going to be able to do that, at least not in the same kind of way, and get away with it, and we're very thankful for that. I just got a call, family. Chairman Fritz should be calling in a few minutes. I hope he does so soon, because we're running out of time. Did want to get that report regarding they got some serious murders going on in Chicago. And, again, we know that this thing rotates, as you all know. I remember a few years ago, Dr. Randy Short, do you remember when Washington was the murder capital for a minute?
Well, it's always the murder capital because it's the murder capital because the government is here having people killed all over the earth. I mean, if you have people killed in El Salvador, why not die on Pennsylvania Avenue? If you have them dying in Nicaragua, why can't they die on Wisconsin Avenue? I mean, what goes around comes around. The scriptures say, according to what you give, you get, pressed down, shaken together. If you're killing people all over the earth, won't some people get killed where you come from?
No doubt about it. Well, but the point being, it's just very interesting to see how this thing just shifts around every other year or so.
And it's the urban areas that tend to end up with, you know, all these mass murders by black folks. So I think maybe 3 years ago it was Philly. They had like 300, 500 shootings, you know. Remember that?
Mm-hmm.
And then one year before that or so, 2 years before that, was Camden, New Jersey. So now we have Chicago. And I mean, they doing some stuff up in there, as
but,
indicated
but,
earlier.
No, but if you look at something, what's happening, a lot of this followed, I mean, we can say it's crack, but it's not just crack. Now it's going to be heroin. So it's like they pick different things to run on us to break us down. Either it's gay rights, it's women's, white women's rights, or it's bad economy. It's as if they have a formula for their low-intensity conflict against our community. And the key thing is to terrorize us by gang-counter-gang warfare. This is what happened in Kenya. This is what they're doing in Nigeria. This is what they're doing in Congo. This is what they're doing in Papua. This is what they're doing in Malaysia. The white people, the Anglos, have been using low-intensity conflicts to get property, to form alliances, to get resources, because ultimately not one gun or bullet is manufactured by anyone pulling a trigger. On top of that, we need to look at, we don't know how many people are military folks who've been mustered out of the military, who kill, who are sociopaths, who are used to killing. These killings also follow military service. So we have wars going on constantly. And these folks come back damaged on psychotropic drugs, huge numbers. We have millions and millions. Americans use 80% of these psychotropic drugs, and they're targeting our young people for them. No one's talking about that. That same woman who looks like SpongeBob had a bad hair day. What's her name? Sheila Jackson Lee? Yeah, I'm talking about her. How come Sheila Jackson Lee and none of these other black women who supposedly care so much, how come none of them will deal with our kids being forced to be on drugs, forced on violent, destructive drugs? That man in the Navy Yard was on Tropazan, a drug that makes people murder. Almost 50% of our military are on these drugs that make people kill. And they're forced to be on it. And no one will say stop. So what happens when these people leave? Or what happens when they need money? How many kids sell their Ritalin, which is like poor man's heroin, to other people? I mean, when are we going to get real about that? And then let's talk about some other things real fast.
Well, hold it right there, because we're running out of time.
A lot of these people from Latin America have been trained by the CIA and the School of America, and they come and they kill here. And you might think it's us killing, and it's them. There was a man down in Texas raping and killing folks. He had made his skin black, and they caught him. It's been within the last 12 years. He knew if he could pass himself off as black, no one would be looking for a Hispanic man. People come here. We don't know who's in this place. They bring folks over here. There are people, there's a woman stalking me who was brought to this country by a Mississippi senator. Her family was brought from Liberia. So there's some kind of CIA asset. Her name is Margaret Hall. A bunch of black and other activists are being stalked by people brought here. So we got folks from other countries coming here. You got Jamaicans. We had thousands of people killed by the shower posses from Jamaica, where they looked like it was African Americans. These are folks who can go back to Jamaica after they've killed 20, 30, 40, 50 people here, and nobody knows who did it.
I want you to hold that point.
They know all about it. They armed and trained those gangs in Jamaica to take down Manly.
We only have a few minutes, so we want to get Chairman Freed in before we run out of time. Hold on one moment. Okay, I think we have him right about here. Chairman Freed, we only have about 5 minutes. We were trying to get you in earlier, but we got you now. How's my brother?
Hey, it's Spirits of Strong Revolutionary Love. And greetings. I'm dealing with one of these latest victims of the state-sanctioned violence in Chicago. I talked to you yesterday, Empress. This happened to be my daughter's cousin, young sister Summer Moore. So I'm about to be dealing with the family stuff now, trying to get the funeral arrangements, so on and so forth together. But
young sister was murdered.
Yeah. So this, like I said, this is it's literally hitting home and every which way, including loose. And I really want to stress this whole term about what's happening in Chicago. A lot of people refer to it as Chirac. I think I caught some last parts with Brother Shaw was talking about. And it's so, I know it's an emotional issue about this violence, but I cannot stress the whole thing about state sanctioned violence that's happening not only in this city, you know what I'm saying, but on the international level. We had a situation just yesterday in Chicago, which is not being reported, where a freight train allegedly en route to Michigan, supposedly just coincidentally stopped in an Inglewood neighborhood, the southwest side of Chicago, and opened up, and 15 assault white rifles just came up missing off of this train. And this is some of the concerted tactics that this city and the government are putting down to create organized chaos throughout these communities. The presence of the Mexican cartel is not being talked about. You follow what I'm saying? So there's so many dynamics that's going on that people got to be very clear that, again, this is organized chaos to be laid down within our communities.
Wow.
But, Terry, when I spoke to you the other day, you had gone to a funeral that week also.
Yes, every day. It seemed like every day. That was 14-year-old India Martin. I grew up with her father. You know what I'm saying? So it's like on a daily basis, the murders happening back to back, within our community. Yeah.
That particular one with the 14-year-old, that was a result of a older female giving her a gun and her shooting, that female shooting the 14-year-old.
Mm-hmm. Which a lot of people might say, well, how do you blame the state in that case? Again, the dismantling of the structure, the Field Marshal George Jackson said, capitalism only affects the economy, affects the psyche. We got a case just last night, 55th and Ashton, south side of Chicago. A young 13-year-old girl, her mother was going to discipline her, but she found that the girl was stripping. Thirteen-year-old girl. Her mother came. The girl ran outside from 55th and Lafayette, from 55th and Ashton. The Chicago police literally pulled up on his mother. Took her, slammed her on top of the car in which the 13-year-old child was looking like, whoa, what's going on? And the mother said, wait a minute, this is my child. I'm disciplining my child. They told her, I don't care who she is, you can't put your hands on her. This has to be acknowledged, the whole type of psychic. It's dismantling our family structures, our community structures. Directly, indirectly, the system is responsible for this. We say God created Africans, America made niggas, and the mayor and the machine made Chiracs.
Mm. Wow. I'm really, again, sorry to hear about your family member, and I'm certain that our family listening, extended family listening, is also, feeling what's going on there. I mean, we were talking earlier, Chairman Freed, how this thing rotates every 3 years or so. Every 3 years, and you and I talked about this before as well, that the urban environments, urban areas, every 3 years or so become the top city for murders. Philly was 1 year, Canton, New Jersey was 1 year, D.C. was 1 year, and now we are here to Chicago. And the other thing we've been talking about is connecting the dots for some of these players.
And you see, as the rotation goes, like chess pieces, you will see some of these infamous players, popping up, whether it be the present National Secretary of Education, Arnie Duncan, who was once in Chicago, over Chicago Public Schools, later to be moved in Philadelphia, later to be moved to New Orleans, later to be placed in Haiti. And you can literally see the trail of tears. They're followed behind the policies. that these individuals are implementing, whether it be the Renaissance 2010 in Chicago or the further the charter schools in New Orleans, Louisiana. And you see all the time that when these crimes are happening, these crime epidemics, America happens to have an agenda, a vested interest happening in these particular places, whether it be to bring in more police or more charter schools, whatever the case may be, or bring in more poverty pimp type organizations. The government creates the problem, then they bring in a so-called panacea. They bring in these Bill Cosby and the rest of these mouthpieces for the system to come in and attack the people to justify bringing more attacks on the community, on the people. So it's like over and over, and like chess pieces, you see these individuals being moved around, and they exploit the emotions. Again, they exploit the emotions of the people, so we have these reactionary responses. We start saying stuff like, what's wrong with these children? No, how you going to feed these babies poison and you wonder why they toxic? Everything, it's not by coincidence that this propaganda bomb, Nicki Minaj, just dropped this song called Chirac, in which was encouraging, literally encouraging the shooting within the city. Then all of a sudden, back to back, Jimmy Iovine of Interscope Records, you've seen this so-called rap beef pop up. And as soon as he signed these individuals, as in the case of Mario Hess, also known as Blood Money and Big Glow, as soon as these individuals get signed, they get signed, all of a sudden they mysteriously getting murdered. That's some strange type of coincidence. You know what I'm saying? Then you're going to start looking at these contracts, these individuals, like the boy Chief Keef. They say they get the bulk of their money when they turn 25 years old. I mean, it can be connected. Jimmy Iovine is like a modern-day Clive Davis. When they come through and they run through our community, they create a brain drain. They grab a talent, you know what I'm saying, and the door we got talent. And they run them through and go through an all-in-one process. But at the end of the day, we have casualties and corpses laying throughout our community.
Wow. Debbie, we're going to lose our stream in a few moments, those of you who are listening on the Internet, but you can still call in at 646-652-2232. We can continue just for a few minutes more, but you're going to lose that stream from the Internet in about 1 minute. We talked with Chairman Fred Hampton, Jr. We also have with us Dr. Randy Short, the E.I. Ajua. And, we've covered quite a few things for tonight, as we normally do. Of course, the situation in Nigeria. But now we're bringing it back home, and we're talking about what's going on in Chi-Town, also known as Chicago. What we also remind all of you, family, is that when you hear us talking about something in one of these cities, one of the urban environments where our people are, 9 times out of 10, it's coming your way. If it hasn't been there already, same thing with gentrification. Point noted is that, one, here in Philadelphia, 28 schools have already been closed. They're now talking about closing some more. Hey, Chicago, how many do you have, Fred?
50 schools. Yes.
So it's not coincidental. If you just pay close attention, you will see the continuation of a systematic plan. Now, today, again, we talked about gentrification. Last week, Kim and Fred was here in Philadelphia. We had a session on gentrification. And one of the key words or one of the key things that we talked about with gentrify or the gentry is also genocide.
Yes,
indeed. You need to understand it's a new type of thing getting ready to go down, or if not new, a little different, let's put it that way, a bit more sophisticated, how they're moving us around out of these cities, especially where there's certain types of train areas, transportation areas, as well as waterways. Pay close attention to what's going on. Tim and Fred, we're going to go back to you. I'm going to get ready to close out. What is it that we need to really begin to not only pay closer attention to, but how can we become more prepared in dealing with these things that are happening in our community?
Again, I want to preface, I do understand that these are emotional issues, and they tug at the emotions of our people. But we must attempt to struggle to scientifically connect the dots from whether it be the kidnapping of the young sisters in Nigeria to the rapid murders that's happening in Chirac. One thing it's a constant is that this system, has its hands in it. We have to ask some questions that are tough questions. Like even people talking about the United States, talking about they want to go over to Nigeria and help and assist finding these young girls. We have to say, wait a minute. This is a country that has never had the welfare of African people. They're concerned about the welfare of African people. They don't, this country to this day doesn't even acknowledge the atrocities of child slavery. So why? What's going on with this? You know, what's to this? So, you know, they already told me this is justified, the United States bringing in drones in Nigeria, so on and so forth. So, we have to check our emotions and not our emotions check us. We have to question, like this. I mean, just mentioned what happened yesterday. Well, this train just suddenly stops in Inglewood, in the southwest side of Chicago, and 15 assault rifles just disappear. And then they bring up a person named Andrew Holmes, who's literally worked for the Chicago Police Department. They refer to him as a community activist, and he comes on and further insults the intelligence of the people, say, well, we just wish somebody would bring the guns back. This is similar to in Haiti, where the World Health Organization was doing tests with pigs. And they took the pigs and they got through doing the tests, and they placed them in the most disenfranchised, the most starving communities. And once the people started eating these pigs, the young boys would start, they were being born with breasts. And you have people asking questions like, well, why are they eating the pigs? If I have to answer that question, some questions, no answer would suffice. I repeat, the most disenfranchised, starving communities. This is organized chaos. And we must pin the tail on the pig. I'm talking about the system. Be very clear. Again, the same, we cannot go to the same individuals who are creating these situations. I think they're going to cure these situations. Once we start, even the terms we use, this is genocide that's happening with Chicago. You know what I'm saying? Throughout all our communities, whether it comes directly or indirectly, the case of the young sisters, the situation on the Facebook, this country has been able to generate internal contradictions in Egypt by working Facebook and other social media. So you best believe that it's been already exposed in the city. They got fraudulent Facebook ads placed up. You know what I'm saying? Putting up, creating gang warfare right in the city of Chicago. You know what I'm saying? And anytime you put some progressive stuff up there, they got me banned on Facebook right now as we speak. So we have to, again, we must understand that everything is political, whether it be the situation in Nigeria, whether it be a Facebook or something. And once we just even start from that premise, that alone can start to put this stuff in correct context and at least make the state back up. You know what I'm saying? Once you start turning the lights on, it exposes the contradictions. America, as Malcolm X said, America's democracy is an hypocrisy, it's a fraud, it's a facade. This is what it covers up. With that being said, we come up on the birthright of Malcolm X, Ilhan Omar Shabazz. Long live the spirit of Malcolm X.
Yes,
also, we cannot forget the assassination of young Malcolm Shabazz. Get those petitions signed, demand investigation of the assassination of Malcolm Shabazz. Be very clear that the counterinsurgency, it continues on our community, it continues on our people. You know what I'm saying? We say the resistance must continue.
Absolutely. So we're going to take one more call, and then we're going to close out. But what we're going to do, of course, as we approach May 19th, we're going to definitely have another special edition so that we can really go further into the life and legacy of Ilhan Omar Shabazz, Malcolm X, and we will also continue our dialogue in regards to the murder of Malcolm Latif Shabazz. Before we take this final call from one of our family, the Simmons family, we're going to go back to Dr. Randy Short. I think he had something to share with us, and then we're going to take this last call. Caller, you're going to be at 1 mic in a few moments. Dr. Randy Short, you had a comment for us?
Yes. I wanted to say that I've known Chairman Fred exactly 1 year and a day. We met on the day that the boy was murdered. It was announced. And I don't think 1 year and a day later do we really know what has happened in fullness. And this is nothing but conspiracy.
Yes.
Because some of us have really tried, and there are powerful interests within the black community, within the political community, and the global community, to suppress this and to prevent this, including, no disrespect, people within his own family have not been helpful like they could have been. And I want to say this. Chairman Fred doesn't have a book or video, and I don't have a book or video. There was more concern about us trying to get paid than anyone looking at the fact that we love that brother and we wanted to help and see him live a long life and make whatever contribution he wanted to do. So I just want to say, sign the petition. When you hear my voice, I'm a good writer. I'm a great writer. I don't have the heart to really write or say anything until I get some answers. I don't want a kiss-and-tell book. As broke as I am, I don't want blood money. I've walked away from Dave Chappelle where I could get paid, and I certainly, and I know the same for my brother in Chicago. Mm-hmm. We want justice because we loved him and we love the grandfather and we love our people. Please help us tell someone this was an assassination. And it goes all the way to the White House and all the way to the Presidential Palace in Mexico and all the way to Langley, Virginia, and the OIC, the Office or whatever this thing, the Organization of Islamic something, something. There's a lot of stuff involved in this. And even their people, we're not going to call any names, are we, Chairman Fred, but they're even progressive black people who we thought were radicals, who will not give any kind, they don't even talk to us anymore as if we did something wrong for asking what happened. That we, I've been blackballed for demanding to know how did this happen.
Everything is political. This is an assassination. And it's ever so many contradictions are ever developing, and as in the case of Malcolm Shabazz and so many other cases, it has the potential to pop up with a Pandora's box of so many individuals, so many other entities, you know what I'm saying, that have a vested interest in keeping the people dumbed down and not knowing about this vicious continuing counterinsurgency, that same vicious counterinsurgency that was responsible for military defeat in the Black Power Movement, that's responsible to this day for the violence in Chirac, responsible for the assassination of Malcolm Shabazz and so many other atrocities in our community. So say right on the brother Dr. Randy Short also. Yes, indeed.
All right. Okay, caller, you're at 4381. As indicated, we're going to open up your line. That'll be our last call, I do believe, for tonight. 4381.
I just wanted to ask about, again, surveillance. We have so much surveillance around, and who's manning that surveillance? That would be a question that I would want to know, and yet many of these killings and crimes are not being solved. I think that's what we need to ask them, those who are in charge of the surveillance. You're surveilling the black community like crazy. And so, but you don't know what's going on here. How can we figure out how to help them, force them into solving some of these? You know that everything is being surveilled.
Yes.
Everything, literally, in the inner cities
everything.
Of Chicago,
everything.
All the way
everywhere.
On the highways, you look around, and I didn't realize that my baby told me about it. She says, "Mommy, that camera's moving."
Yes.
I'm going down I-35.
For the mouths of babies.
In the middle of Iowa.
Yes.
The baby cued me in.
Huh.
I didn't even know they had cameras. But anyway, that's just kind of it. And yet we think they care about us. Well, they don't.
Right on. Right on.
That's the bottom line. They don't care about us.
Right on.
Period.
Man, Will said it. Yes. And we got to come to grips with that.
Absolutely. And with that said, Chairman Fred, I don't know if you heard, we talked about it earlier about in Detroit, and this is just one. There's one in Philly as well, but there's one in Detroit that we just got, we talked about last week, Sister Brittany Brown, I believe her name is, roughly 26 years old. Her body was found after she was missing 30 days, naked and so forth. So going back to what Sister Hattie just said, with all these cameras that they now have in our community, you would think that they would be able to give us some better insight into how that happened. How did this woman get tied up, naked, and thrown into the street? And nobody seen nothing?
Come on. Come on now. Come on. Come on now. These jokers, man, he got speed cameras, I mean, cameras all throughout the community, justified putting bogus tickets on people's cars, taking their cars. And as you said, with all these atrocities in our community, you know what I'm saying, it's an insult to our intelligence at minimum, you know, the type of fodder that they tell our people. You know, it's insane. It's, they don't have enough resources to keep the public schools open. But then you'll see the next day when they come out and fund private-owned, publicly-connected, patronage-funded charter schools.
Can I give you an example? Can I just say an agreement?
Yes.
The wealthiest black county in the United States is Prince George's County, where I'm working for a candidate, where they're running a plumber to be head of the court system because his mama got gang raped by some black dudes and he got adopted by a rich white family. You have great schools and people paying the taxes, and yet the money doesn't touch the students, and everybody's black. We've got to fight an internal war against our traitors, because this, let me tell you, one of the reasons I got terminated from my government job is I threatened the school board with exposure by the press if they didn't turn the heat on at some of the schools where the black kids went. The heat bill was paid. They just didn't care. And the black folks who were teachers and administrators had heaters while the children froze and had colds. And people considered me militant for demanding heat for children in freezing buildings when the money was there, when everything is there. We've got to deal with our internal devils, and ruthlessly so, because if we deal with that, we can get everything else done. We make a major mistake. Before I even talk about anybody with Malcolm Lateef or anything else, And this is why Chairman Fred and I hooked up. I knew he would tell me about the devils within our community. Because once I knew about that, everything else would fall into place. We must begin. That's why I'm talking about bad luck, Jonathan. It is always the comprador, the sellout, the traitor, the snitch, the blackneck, the turncoat, the Negro Benedict Arnold, the Afro-Saxon trash that is our impediment to at least being able to define our objectives and who our enemies are and how we will attain our ultimate goal of freedom and liberation. We must deal with our internal contradictions within our traitorous sellout elite and those underclass denizens that want to join them and holding us down.
Wow. Well, we've run out of time, but we're going to try to get one more caller in. And before we do, I want to also add one thing to what Dr. Randy Schutt just said, and that is also not only these politicians or trickins, but the people who are also gatekeepers. Yeah, the people who are also gatekeepers for them. Gatekeepers and the ones who are buffers for them.
Mm-hmm.
They got to be exposed to. Because we ran into that today at our gentrification meeting. We run into it throughout, you know, the various other types of things. And we've got to continue to make sure we expose them. Hold those thoughts. We're going to take one more call, and we're going to go to caller year at 7940. We only have a few moments, but we're going to get you in, and then we're going to close out 7940. Your mic is open.
Yes, greetings, everyone. I agree with everybody. NSA got them satellites up in the space that has three parameters that can see all over the planet. And not only they using those satellites, they have many methods of social engineer. They can attack us without being here anymore by using this advanced technology to not just have us monitor us on the streets, but monitor us in our homes in real time. And look up NSA Remote Neural Monitoring. A whistleblower, John St. Clair Ockway, took NSA brought me to court about these advanced technologies, and that's why we are exposing the technology being used on our people to do things that they would not normally do, because it is not normal for no older African descendant to put a gun in a younger hand knowing they're going to jail and they're going to be put away for life. And anybody start experiencing abnormal behaviors and doing things they wouldn't do, knowing that they were taught better, you got to understand that it's a method, and it's a tax, social engineer tax upon our people. And by them feeling like if we can't physically beat them and they come together, we'll just attack their mind by having them do different things. And a lot of this is done through subliminal introduction. They have many techniques, but we got to know, we got to guard our mind and go back to our original way of living by understanding one thing. They are not our enemy. They are not our friends. They are enemies, and they will have always and will always be wicked against us, because they don't want people to know we're the original people of the planet. They want us to believe that they're the superior beings, and we are the superior being, and they are just white supremacists. Simple as that. Thank you for allowing me to share.
And
thank you for your call. Well.
All right, family. Well, again, we are closing out. We're going to get Chairman Fred and Dr. Randy Short. I think we lost Iya, but we'll be bringing her back next week or thereabouts. Okay, my brothers, we're going to give you your closing comments for tonight, and then we're going to have Mumia Abu-Jamal close us all out for tonight. And with that, of course, we want to remind everyone that we must continue to do the work to free our political prisoners. Hey, if we don't, who will? And you know we've got to. So I'm going to go back to Chairman Fred for his closing comments for tonight, and then Dr. Randy Short.
Right on. Again, Revolutionary Appreciations for giving me the opportunity to update the people on some of the campaigns that the Black Panther Party covers that we engaged in. My contact is www.chairmanfredjr.blogspot.com. Again, www.chairmanfredjr.blogspot.com. Also, we can be reached on Facebook at Prisoners of Conscience Committee. We got connected dots. You know what I'm saying? These attacks are going on our people. We say in the spirit of Marcus Garvey, one struggle, one people. Again, anybody going to save us but us. Keep the case of Mumia Abu-Jamal moving now, and the people of New Orleans and our people in general on our minds and hearts. In fact, we say, what's our call? Free them all.
Dr. Randy Short?
There's nothing more unnatural than for Anglo-American people who mean our absolute and total destruction as a people to determine our destiny or the trajectory or the syncline of it. We have to really begin to think about freedom doesn't mean being assimilated or included, but it means being separate and self-determining. The sooner we learn this, the greater chances we have to survive the genocidal snares and traps and pitfalls that they put in her efforts. She truly deserves your support, financial and spiritual, and prayers to continue to do her program.
Oh.
All right. Good. Thanks, my brother. And with that said, I do want to thank all of you who do contribute to our radio program, Sister Gloria, Sister Amy, and others. We thank you so very much. We are attempting to upgrade our equipment so that in the very near future we'll be able to bring you even clearer, crisper sound. We're working on it because we want to bring you the best that we possibly can. So your support would be helpful in doing that, and you can do that by mailing your contribution to National MWM P.O. Box 53668. Doing the email address again, National MWM P.O. Box 53668, Philadelphia, PA 19105. Again, we're going to thank Chairman Fred Hampton Jr., of course, Dr. Randy Short, and E.I. Ajua, and certainly you all for really making this program all that it always is, and that is definitely top-notch. and then some. We're going to leave out again with none other than Mumia Abu-Jamal. And certainly we're going to be talking tomorrow with a special edition. We'll have our brother Lee with us, and we're going to be talking about ALD and a whole bunch of other things. And also we have a few other special editions coming up this week as well. So stay tuned. Again, we're going to leave you as we oftentimes greet you, and that is in the spirit of Ma'at and Hotep. But remember, there can be no real peace until there's truly justice. And as we know and often hear our brother Austin Mallock say, and others, no justice, no peace.
No peace.
We're going to have some peace. So that means we're definitely going to have some justice. All right, my brothers, love you both. And we will
Thank you both.
Yes,
thank you.
Onward.
13th, 1985 meetings. 4 years I've written on the meetings of May 13th, 1985. The murders, the massacre, the bombing, and the burnings of the MOVE organization in Philadelphia. The unjust incarceration of Ramona Africa. And the impunity for killer cops, baby killers in blue, immune from crimes that would make devils blush. 29 years it passed, and except for Ramona, no one ever entered a jail cell. How has this impunity served the city and the citizens of Philadelphia? Today, cops, in broad daylight, rob people, testify falsely, and plant drugs. Recently, a Philadelphia newspaper reported on a squad of cops robbing hundreds of thousands of dollars from local businesses, walking in, tapping the till at gunpoint. State and federal prosecutors turn a blind eye like nothing happened. That's because it's nothing compared to May 13, 1985. This is the foul fruits of May 13. Impunity breeds corruption. And the whole city suffers. From Imprison Nation, this is Mumia Abu-Jamal. These commentaries are recorded by Noel Emmerich.
Free Mumia Abu-Jamal, freedom all. On.